It's the Geek Cave Podcast's live annual Extra Life Marathon for Children's Miracle Network. Donate now to help your local Children's Miracle Network hospital at geekcavepodcast.com. Now, here are your hosts, Darren Wright, Justin White, and Chad Savage.
Welcome to Geek Cave Live!
Woo!
Yeah, we are in hour 14 of our Extra Life Marathon. I'm Darren.
I'm Justin.
I'm Chad.
And that was a much cleaner intro than the comic segment was.
Because it's live.
Because it's live. Welcome to gaming, where if you hear the words, boy, you instantly know what we're talking about. Oh, but first, big thank you to everyone who has donated so far to our Extra Life effort on extra-life.org or geekcavepodcast.com. And also a big thank you to our other sponsors, Gamefly. With membership options for every budget, gifts for gamers of all ages, Gamefly has thousands of titles you can keep as long as you want. When you're done, send it back with a postage paid envelope for a new one, or keep it forever and pay a lot less than those in-store prices. And they just updated their rewards program. You can stack up to $20 in coupons towards any purchase. And right now, you can get a free 30-day trial by using the link at geekcavepodcast.com. And Shirtosaurus, digging up clothing from the past so you can look rad today. With free shipping on all orders within the U.S., plus great t-shirt, sweater, and hoodie designs on everything geek chic. Whether you're a fan of old-school gaming, anime, 80s cartoons, or something in between, find something for you at Shirtosaurus.com. Gentlemen, how are we doing?
So far, so good.
Yeah.
Donatello's getting his butt whooped.
Well, I know that that's pretty much the usual, but Chad.
Yeah.
Have you had a chance to try any good demos lately?
Demos, no, but I did get to try the first level of a game.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Demo Derby!
I'll count it.
All right. So, not strictly a demo, but I did have access to Darren's Game Pass library for a week.
Yep.
So I played Lawn Mowing Simulator.
Oh, you outrageous dog.
So do you like the soothing sounds of a Briggs & Stratton? Do you like driving in concentric circles? Do you live your life in third person so that mowing is ironically easier and harder?
Yes.
If so, then Lawn Mowing Simulator may be for you. Start your career in lawn mowing by picking a mower, a trimmer, and taking that first job. It is exactly as tedious as you would imagine. It takes just as much time as an actual lawn mowing job, but without the benefit of actual money at the end of it.
Woo!
Also, the trimmer is awful, so it is exceedingly difficult to not hit things like flowers and rack up enough penalties that you may as well pay the homeowner for the privilege of mowing their lawn and getting rid of all those pesky hibiscus. This is a game that should have been a joke demo. Like, they should have made this a demo, promised more game to come, and then never released it. That would have been hysterical.
I would have loved that.
The fact that they made an entire game out of it honestly makes me weep a little bit. To riff on the ratings, just the first level.
All right.
First level's fun.
Cool.
Just for the novelty of it. But beyond that, it just...
Oh.
Just...
That's unfortunate. All right.
I have a shell. Why does the spear hurt?
Yeah. For those of you who are not watching the Twitch stream, if you're listening to this podcast on podcast services, we are in the middle of our Extra Life Marathon, which means that we are currently playing Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Shredder's Revenge. And at the during the third hour, during the movie segment, or right before we start taping the movie segment, we will give away a physical copy of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Shredder's Revenge on the Nintendo Switch, thanks to our friends at Limited Run Games. And I know that Chad has also played a game. I've got a review as well. But first, Justin.
Yeah.
So have you been spending any time on Reddit lately?
I have. As many of you know, I don't get a chance to play many video games, although that has changed recently, which I'll get to in a few minutes. But I do have a wide breadth of knowledge, which I think is useful to the gaming community, in a little segment I like to call...
Ask Justin. The Geek Cave podcast and its associates, including Justin, do not condone the advice given in this segment.
And I lost Leo for a second. Okay, there we go.
He's the one in blue.
Yes, I see that. Sorry. All right, this is going to be awkward considering my notes are on my phone and I'm still trying to play.
You can hand me your controller if you want to read the
notes.
Yes, there
please.
You go.
Thank you. Okay, so this month's question. Should I let go of console gaming if I'm too afraid of getting too attached to games? Gamophobia is a fear of having a fear of commitment. This fear is so intense that it is often impossible to find long-term relationships. Some people can't commit to long-term relationships like choosing a college, making a career choice, or picking a place to live. This fear of commitment differs from gamophobia, which is specifically a fear about personal relationships. People with gamophobia, may be unable to form lasting intimate relationships, experience extreme anxiety when in a relationship, feel anxiety when they see happy people in a committed relationship, and push people away to end a relationship abruptly. You may want to consider seeking therapy before making decisions, and also talk to your doctor about anti-anxiety medication. The Anxiety and Depression Association of America has some resources that may be useful to you. Visit ADAA.org for more information.
Did you just give gamophobia and gamophobia the
no,
same?
No, it's gamophobia. Okay. G-A-M-A-phobia.
Oh, okay.
Not game. There's no E.
It's the fear of legs, especially in the 60s.
No, it's gams. No, gamsophobia.
Yeah. Okay.
Going back to what I said about, you know, being able to play a few more games.
Okay.
I've actually got a twofer for you this time.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Oh, is this another one of those buy its cover things?
Yes, it was. So, to piggyback off of Chad's, what was it, mowing simulator?
Lawn mowing simulator.
I played Bee Simulator.
Mm.
You play as a bee.
Mm-hmm.
And
is Jerry Seinfeld involved
no.
in this?
Okay, no,
good.
It's not.
Good.
It is, the bees talk to each other.
Sure.
Wiggle
that thorax.
They use words.
Oh.
It basically, you fly around and you collect honey and whatnot. You learn bee things, but it is also a narrative on how important bees are to the ecosystem and how we should save them.
Okay.
I got bored with it pretty quickly, and then my son played it and he adored it.
Okay.
I'm sorry, you had a question?
Mixed results on that one.
Mixed results.
Okay.
The second game I tried is called Lumberjack. L-U-M-B-E-A-R. Lumberjack. You play as a bear with an axe.
Okay.
Literally an axe to grind against humans and the way they are treating nature.
Okay.
Go around with your axe and you chop down all of the things that are polluting the forest. And when you find a human who has been brainwashed into this kind of mentality, you slap them with your axe.
Oh, okay.
You don't kill them, but you slap
you
them
with
them
your
axe. You give
them a good old axe slapping.
Yeah. And then they kind of come out of it, and then they're like, oh, nature's cool and everything.
This is how the Wee Bear Bears movie should have gone.
Yeah. So as you can level up your axe from an axe to a bigger axe to a chainsaw on a pole.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Because sometimes there are just bigger obstacles that a single axe cannot contain.
All right.
Occasionally, you're also playing golf or badminton with bombs.
Sure.
How the turtle blimp is there in the background.
Yeah, not providing any support whatsoever. So, mixed results on Bee Simulator, but I absolutely adored Lumberjack.
Cool. Well, I'm glad you enjoyed Lumberjack. That sounds like a lot of fun.
It's very minimalistic in its art style, and it just works.
Nice. Chad.
Yeah.
Did you also have it deemed for review?
Oh, I played Superliminal.
Oh, I saw that on Game Pass. That looks interesting.
It is a puzzle game.
Right.
Involving perspective. So I don't know what the story is. Honestly. I like the idea of the puzzle. Anyway, what I do know is that you kind of check yourself in to test some somnosculpt technology, which is designed to give you like lucid dreams and help you deal with problems.
Okay.
But what it means is that you're always in this dream world. And so say you pick something up, the perspective of the thing will change its size or change its...
Based on how close it is to you.
Based on how close or how far. So if you get really close to a wedge of cheese and then back up so that the wedge of cheese is like covering the full size of a wall, when you drop it, it will be the size of the wall.
Huh. Nice.
If there is a picture or a painting that is broken up across like three or four walls, lining it up will make it fall off the, you know, the three or four walls and poles and so forth, giving you this thing that you can now manipulate in the world.
Hmm. Huh.
It is a hoot. It's got some simple puzzles. It's got some puzzles to make you feel smart. And then it's got some puzzles to make you go, you gotta be kidding me.
Yeah, you were telling me about one.
I very nearly threw a controller when a thing that I thought I had to do turned out to be the absolute hardest possible thing to do.
I didn't mean to do that.
And what I should have done was just turned a wheel, and that would have shown me the door.
Well,
very,
you know.
Very frustrating. That being said, if that had been the demo, it would have been a get the game.
Okay. Nice.
Yeah.
Good to hear. So I've got a couple of updates for you. One is an update on the Steam Deck. Still a review in progress. For those who have been interested, think a handheld PC gaming platform. Or as we have joked, the real Switch Pro.
Put it another way, Darren has spent more time with it now than he ever did the Vita.
Yes, mostly because I have been playing some PlayStation Studios games on it, because PlayStation Studios games are now on PC, in addition to the fact that this thing is able to emulate so many different gaming consoles, but particularly I've had it for long enough to say that, yes, you should, if you are interested in PC gaming, you should get it, because the titles that I have tested on it have all worked really well, with one exception, and that was a game that was already listed by Valve as unsupported. And the reason that they tend to have unsupported games is it has something to do with the particular developer's anti-piracy measures.
Uh-huh.
Where they just, for whatever reason, will not work with the Steam Deck, and Valve apparently is working on it. So yes, it's still worth getting. The Steam Deck dock is not sure, because I used it primarily for handheld. If you connect it to your TV with the Steam Deck dock, you're not getting an upscale like some people assume you're going to get. It's literally the same image as on your Steam Deck. So if it looks real good in handheld, it might not look real good on the TV. It's just literally upscaling that image. It's not like playing it off of a more dedicated piece of hardware, a more hardcore piece of hardware, you know, with a bigger graphics card, that kind of thing. That being said, though, if you want to explore emulation, or you just want to, like, play on your TV, and you don't want to have to deal with buying, like, an actual gaming PC or laptop, get the Steam Deck, and then get the dock, and at most you'll be out $450, something like that. So, in that realm of things, it is absolutely a great way to try some of the most recent AAA titles without having to spend the full $600 on a Series X or PS5. The other review I have is of Gotham Knights. Y'all have seen some of this on our Twitch channel, as I have been enjoying. Hold on, we got a question on our chat. Yeah, you can run Windows on Steam Deck. I'm not sure. By the way, yeah, we are doing this live if you're listening to the podcast lately, afterwards. I'm not sure if running Windows would have much of a difference on the performance of the game, but you can run Windows on it. So I've seen kind of mixed results on that as far as whether or not that improves performance. So just kind of keep that in mind. I do still think the Steam Deck is worth picking up, especially because it's very handy for getting some game time in. But speaking of new games, Gotham Knights came out not that long ago. I have spent several hours with it. And, you know, it's kind of a weird dichotomy, because a lot of the reviewers who have played Gotham Knights inevitably compare it to Arkham Knight or the Arkham series, which is fine because those were the last big Batman games that came out.
Probably based on art style more than anything.
Yeah.
The art style is so similar across the games.
It is similar. But I will say that it's kind of an unfair comparison. Gotham Knights does not play like an Arkham game. So people going in expecting that are not going to get that experience.
So it's just worse.
No, I didn't say it's worse. I didn't say it's worse because I have put several hours in and I've enjoyed the time that I've put in with it. Now, that being said, it's a different experience from the Arkham series. The combat is different.
It's just not as good?
The combat is different. You know, the voice acting is different. I saw some complaints about...
So it's not as good?
For God's sake, stop comparing it to the Arkham games.
It's got to at least be better than Arkham Origins, though. I mean, that game didn't even play for me.
It's a 7 out of 10.
Oh, okay.
It's a 7 out of 10. That's what I would give it. I'm not going to say it's like the best Batman game because it's not.
Batman's not in it.
Oh, come on.
He's got a point.
Let's not pretend.
He dies
here.
In the first opening movie, which, by the way, takes like 25 minutes.
It is a long opening cinematic. But yeah, I think it's at least worth a rental, you know, through Gamefly, one of our sponsors. But I'd give Gotham Knights a 7 out of 10. I love the characterization. The writing is good. The story is good. It's very RPG-ish.
So it picks up right after Arkham Knight?
No. But it's very RPG-ish in that there's a lot of looting. You beat up bad guys and you pick up material and that allows you to create armor and yada yada. Think the Avengers game. The Square Enix Avengers game. It's kind of like that, except the character models aren't nearly as ugly as they were in Avengers. And it plays about the same, you know? So, again, it's a solid 7 out of 10. It's not terrible. It's not amazing. It's a good game. You should give it a try.
All right.
So, before we get to our pile of shame review, just a quick reminder for those of us joining us on Twitch that this is a fundraiser for Extra Life for Children's Miracle Network Hospitals. We do this every year, and we would love for you to check it out because we have prizes to give away, including a copy of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Shredder's Revenge, a physical copy for the Nintendo Switch. All you have to do is go to geekcavepodcast.com, click on the Extra Life button at the top of the page. You'll find out all you need to know there. We don't keep a penny of your donations. It all goes to Children's Miracle Network Hospitals. With that being said, if there's no new business...
No.
Nope.
All right.
It was created by a madman. Ignored and rejected. Every week it grows. We cannot kill it, for it does not live. Step fast and be wary, or you may fall victim to... Darren's Pile of Shame.
So welcome to the Pile of Shame segment, where I picked a game out of the past that I should have played by now or should have revisited by now and give it another go. You know, we're doing this Extra Life marathon to help kids. And anytime I'm involved in a project to benefit kids, whether it's this or Toys for Tots or whatever, I inevitably start to wonder what kind of parent I would have ended up being. Then I play 2018's God of War.
And I know.
And I realize...
Boy!
And I realize that if Kratos has more patience for kids than I do, it's probably for the best I don't have kids. That's right. We are going to be taking a look at God of War 2018. Now, this year, we are doing a special round of Pile of Shame reviews, which I call the Year of the Games of the Year. Only playing games that are in critical acclaim because, God dang it, I deserve to go easy on myself every once in a while. And also to answer the question, is this thing that was good then still good now? So, we're going back 4 years ago to revisit the soft reboot of God of War, now on the heels of the release of its sequel, Ragnarok. You play as Kratos, the God of War himself, who took that title from Ares during the original series of games all the way back on the PS2 and PS3. Spoiler alert, I didn't care for them. He essentially wiped out all of the Greek gods before jumping to PS4. A lot of stuff happened in the interim. He moved to Midgard, found love again, made a new family for himself, buried his past somewhat literally. The game starts with Kratos chopping down a tree to use for a funeral pyre for his second wife, Faye, and is about to embark on a journey with their son, Atreus, to spread her ashes from the highest peak in the realms. Turns out she was a bit of a rascal by making that part of her last wishes. Balder, one of the Norse gods, you know, because Kratos killed all the Greek ones, shows up and a fight ensues. And that phrase, "and then a fight ensues," sums up most of the story beats.
And then a fight ensues. Yeah.
Kratos and Atreus encounter Freya, Odin's wife, who had been banished. Some dwarves who were pretty good at upgrading equipment and arguing with each other. Loads of monsters. Some dragons. Some Valkyries as they hop from one realm to another until they finally get to their ultimate destination. An understanding of one another. And the mountain. You see, for all of the violence and bloodshed, and there is a lot. Oh boy, there is a lot. This is not for kids. This story really boils down to a man trying to make sure his son doesn't end up like him. And in fact, that he grows up to be better. Now, this is made complicated when Atreus learns halfway through the game that Kratos is a god, and therefore so is he. And then that little turd starts acting like he grew up exclusively between a Hot Topic and a Gold's Gym. Now, he eventually learns the hard way that just because you have power doesn't mean you get to use that power however you want. And the writing is really well done. Kratos comes across as a man who is deeply at war with himself and his past. And there are little moments. Like, Chad, you know this one. When Atreus softly wishes that Faye were still alive, and Kratos starts to reach for his son, and then pauses and pulls his hand back. You know, it says there's no words, but it says so much. And it does so much to enhance the story that's already there. Now, as for the gameplay, God of War 2018 dropped what I thought of as kind of a stale, classic, static gameplay camera for a more over-the-shoulder look. Slightly less mindless combat style. And it really pays off, at least for people like me, who were interested in the series but never really cared for the first entries. What?
The screen, it looked like you needed to plug Krang's body into a 110.
Ah, okay. Yeah, sorry. Now, encounters are fast. They're always fun to take on. You never feel as if it's the game's fault that you died. You always feel as if you did something wrong. You screwed up. Now, there are also environmental puzzles that can sometimes be head-scratchers that make you feel like a Goram genius once you solve them.
Yeah.
And the lore is very deep.
Oh, Jesus.
You can tell the developers definitely had a plan in place for Ragnarok, which is the next game in the series. Now, the soundtrack was composed by Bear McCreary. You might know him for his work on Battlestar Galactica and The Walking Dead.
That's what I thought.
It's appropriately moody. There's some big, epic moments whenever the story and setting call for it. The way the music builds to a crescendo when you reach the end of your journey stirs up some emotion, even if it's your second, third, or fourth time through. Now, before 2018, I never thought I'd actually buy a God of War game. I just figured, eh, they're not for me. But I have bought this game twice. Once on PS4 and then once on PC.
You must be a bigger fan than me.
Apparently,
I only bought it the once.
Well, the PC port I wanted to test out, it plays flawlessly even on the Steam Deck.
Really?
And you can run it at high settings on the Steam Deck. So
no
that tells
way.
You something. Yeah, it's really well optimized. Visually, it's a perfect match for the PS4 edition, if not slightly prettier depending on your specifications. Also played it on a high-end gaming laptop. Looks really nice. And both times, it has been well worth the price of admission, start to finish.
Nice.
God of War 2018 won Game of the Year awards from these publications, and this is a sampling of the list. The British Academy Games Awards, CNET, Destructoid, the DICE Awards, Entertainment Weekly, the Game Awards, the Game Developers' Choice Awards, Game Informer, IGN, Nerdist, Polygon, Time Magazine, and Variety. I left out a half dozen. It is nothing short of a masterpiece and, well, worth revisiting. Definitely be like me.
That's awesome.
All right. Yeah.
All right. So, as we close the gaming segment, for our sponsors, well, first I want to say be sure to listen to our other podcasts, including Geek Cave Comics, Geek Cave Movies, You Want Me to Watch What, which is a movie review podcast, and the Week 3 podcast, as well as the occasional TLDR.
Darren, what kind of podcast is the Week 3 podcast?
Whatever me and Justin want. But it can also be adaptable for other things, too. You'll see what we're talking about when we get to November and December.
Mm-hmm.
You can find us on Twitch. If you're watching on Twitch, hello. But it's twitch.tv/DeepCavePodcast. We do live streams. Also, check out Deep Cave Plays and Retromantics on our YouTube channel, which you can find at DeepCavePodcast.com. You can also find a link to our Discord. We've got a friendly group of people there, and you get early access to our podcasts on our Discord server, and it's absolutely free to join. You can chat with us one-on-one, meet other fans, share your ideas, etc., etc. Big thank you to our sponsors, Shirtosaurus, Digging Up Clothing from the Past, You Can Look Rad Today, and Gamefly, Video Games Delivered. For Kent, Justin, and Chad, I'm Darren. Remember, only attack when I tell you to. And everyone's a geek for something.